Welcome to today's episode of Our Blessed Hope. I am your servant in Christ, Gary W. Lindsay, and this is a podcast about why Jesus Christ is our blessed hope, and why the Bible is the only resource we can go to discover this truth. For Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Then we can find in the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, the following words, as well as the theme for this podcast. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. Well, it has been a very long time since my last podcast. In fact, it has been, I believe, 19 months since I last posted, which would be, what, about a year and 7 months, or just a little over a year and a half. Well, a very not nice thing happened as I was preparing for the last podcast. A very bad thing happened. My wife, Renee, was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. In fact, she was just as close to stage 4 ovarian cancer as a person could actually get and not get that far, which we are very thankful for that. The doctors got to her just in time. But as you can imagine, our life kind of turned a little bit upside down with this. And of course, there was a major surgery, and she had to recover from that. And then, you know, you start with the chemo. And, you know, with my wife, she has always been very sensitive to medications just to begin with. And so with the chemo, she pretty much experienced every side effect that a person could possibly experience. It was a very traumatic thing to watch her go through all of this. But, you know, time has gone by, and, you know, it's just the main thing. I mean, you know, you can imagine when you're dealing with that and doctor's appointments and you know, and then I'm caring for her and doing things around the house, things like that. You know, you really don't have time to focus and study for a podcast. That's just, and I wasn't going to come to the microphone and just do a half podcast, if that makes sense. You know, you need to be able to study, and so that when you come to a microphone and you're going to talk about any subject, you need to be prepared for what you're going to talk about. And so anyway, that is what's been going on. And, you know, now she is at the point where, you know, the chemo is long done. She's already done the radiation treatments that she had to go through. And so now it's just a matter of seeing doctors and everything. All the reports are good. All the reports are positive. So we can feel pretty confident that they got the cancer out of her body before any of it spread. And so we're very thankful for that. You know, and of course, you know, and it's really an amazing thing, though, that, you know, we don't want trials like that. You know, when you hear about stuff like that, when you hear about people's loved ones, you know, getting some type of cancer, it's just, it's heartbreaking news. None of us are looking forward to that or want something like that. But, you know, when you're a Christian and you come through the whole thing, it grows you closer to God. And not only has it grown us even closer to God, but it has grown us even closer together as husband and wife. So, you know, none of us want these trials. None of us want to have these things. And certainly I wouldn't recommend that we pray to be able to go through a trial. But the truth is that as a Christian, when you go through these trials, you know, it's going to bring you closer to God. And just because you went through something so traumatic like this, at least emotionally, as husband and wife, it draws the two of you closer together. So I would have to say, as horrible as all of this was, that Renee and I are stronger today as a result of it. And what's sad is that people that go through something like this and they don't know the Lord, they're not saved, and so ultimately they turn to what they believe in, but it's more about believing in yourself and overcoming things and I don't know. At the end of it, it makes them more lost. I mean, that's actually the truth. I know that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but the truth is the truth. There are so many people, most people, they reject the gospel, they reject the Bible, or it really has no place in their lives. And then when they go through such a difficult situation in their lives, well, you have to cling to something. And when you're clinging to the wrong thing, going into such a trial, believe me, you're going to come out of it clinging even stronger to the wrong thing. And that's what makes it also sad. But I'm just fortunate today that Renee and I are both Christians. We do believe in the Word. You know, we do profess our faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it has just made us stronger. It's made our faith stronger. You know, it just does. And the Lord is there, you know, through all of it. But anyway, that's where I've been. I didn't just lose interest in the podcast or decide that I'm just, you know, not going to do it anymore. But nothing like that. It's just that I had to have my mind focused to be able to come back and do this. Now, so basically, you know, this is not the podcast. We're actually going into Romans chapter 4. I left off in Romans chapter 3. So I'm going to pick up in Romans chapter 4 where I left off. So I can just tell you that this is just pretty much going to be more of my testimony. I wanted to do an episode before I launch back into the scriptures. Basically, there's four things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about, of course, Renee's health, which I have just done. And then I just wanted to share my own salvation story. I wanted to talk about then why I even want to do a podcast. And then I wanted to just talk about, you know, how it is that I read and understand the Bible. You know, I mean, you know, what am I about? What is my theological stance and that type of stuff? So if this doesn't interest you, I mean, that's fine. If you just, you know, you could quit listening to this one and jump into the next one when I put it up, when I'm in Romans. So this is really not going to be me expositing scripture. It's going to be more of me just giving personal testimony today, if you don't mind. It's just something that I think it's a great way to get back into doing the podcast. We could kind of consider this maybe a reintroduction of me and what I'm about and why I'm doing this and all that type of stuff. You know, for myself, I was actually saved at a pretty young age. I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was around 8 years old. In fact, I was actually, as a child, I was actually baptized twice. The first time, it was just I wanted to do what every other kid was doing at Vacation Bible School as a young kid. And, you know, it's just kind of like, hey, do you want to meet Jesus? And, you know, do you want to get saved? And, you know, and that sounded like a cool idea. So, and other people were doing it, so I did it. And, but then later, not much, you know, longer after that, actually it was at Vacation Bible School again, but this time, I wish I could remember the young man. Well, he's not young anymore, but at the time he was a young man. He was either high school or young college age. I can't, you know, I can still see his face, but I've forgotten his name and facts about him. But he really explained to me what the gospel is. He really explained how a person comes to faith in Christ and what that means, and how you're turning from sin, and talked to me about what sin was, and even talked to me about, even as a child, like being disobedient to my parents and things of that nature, and or lying or stealing, or the things that you can do even as a young child. Explained to me what sin was and what the consequences of it was. And the result of which is I can very well remember walking around in my backyard as a very young child, and it just came to me, and I just started praying that, you know, Lord, I've prayed like in church, or I've prayed prayers, you know, at night, but I've never actually just prayed to you on my own, really prayed to you. And I said, I don't know why. And then I can't remember everything that I said after that. But, of course, I did confess what sins, at least my understanding of sin. I knew that I'd been disobedient to parents. I knew that I had told lies. I knew that I had told used bad words and told vulgar jokes and that kind of thing. But as I prayed, something happened to me that, all I can tell you, is the most real experience I ever had in my life, that nothing tops what happened to me that day as a child, because I knew that Jesus was real. And that's really all I can say. I mean, you know, the heavens didn't open up. The angels didn't descend and ascend. I didn't see Jesus, you know, seated at the right hand of God the Father. You know, I didn't fall over backwards and start speaking gibberish. It's just I went from being lost to knowing that I was saved, and knowing that this is real. I can remember even saying that, Lord, this is real. Like, I can't believe this is real. I mean, you're real. This is a real experience. And my life dramatically changed. Now, you got to picture a young kid, a child. It's summertime. It was in August. And, you know, my favorite thing was, you know, just running around barefoot and playing all kinds of games and being just a kid. And just playing from the time the sun came up to the sun went down, and coming in so filthy dirty from all the dirt and everything from rolling around all over the place. I mean, that's what kids want to do. I went from a very active, hyperactive kid, because I was extremely hyperactive, to wanting to sit under a pine tree in the backyard reading about Jesus. Now, of course, at 8 years of age, I couldn't read the King James Bible. That was slightly over my head. But my grandfather had bought these the Bible story books. You used to see them when I was a kid all the time in, like, doctor's offices. I can't really think of now what the man's name is that wrote these books. They're really not the best Bible stories as far as their accuracy. There's a, you know, as I've gone back and looked at it, there's quite a few things maybe wrong, but The point is it was an introduction to me about Jesus. And it was something that I could read. It was something that I could understand. And that's all I wanted to do for the rest of the summer, was sit under that pine tree. I mean, literally. I mean, you know, I hated the fact that I had to go to bed at night because I wanted to keep on reading. And just as soon as I could get up and get dressed and eat breakfast, I was out the door with one of those Bible story books, sitting under that pine tree, listening or reading about Jesus. And then as I grew older and was able, reading is just something that I always excelled at. You know, people always are going to figure out how to do something that they love to do. And I love to read. My family will tell you that. I used to make my grandfather so mad when we would go on vacations because he would want me to be looking out the window at all the scenery. But I always had my nose in the book, as he used to say. And he couldn't get me to look at anything. He thought I was just missing out on the whole trip because I didn't want to look out at the scenery. You know, but that was boring to me. I was interested in whatever book I was reading. So it's not I was some super genius when it came to reading, because when it came to other subjects, boy, I was horrible, especially math. I mean, I got basic math under control, and then we went on to what they call pre-algebra. I did okay, and everything is dark and gloomy after pre-algebra. None of it ever took in my head. I mean, it went in one ear and never made any sense, and it just fell out the other ear. And it was pretty much that way about a lot of other things too. But when it came to reading, in fact, I even remember reading books that weren't meant for kids. They were way over my head as far as my reading comprehension level at the time. And so I learned what a dictionary was. And a lot of times I would be reading books and have the dictionary right there. So when I would come to a word that I didn't understand, I could look that word up in the dictionary. Sometimes, though, that wasn't good enough. I mean, even having a dictionary, it was just too complicated of a word. And I can remember several times going back into the house and asking my mother, you know, what does this word mean? And reading the sentence to her so that she could explain to me what that word meant. The point is I loved reading. And my introduction really was learning about Jesus. That really was what turned me on to reading. But as time went on, then I was given a New Testament. It was called Good News for Modern Man. A horrible Bible translation, if any of you remember that. Good News for Modern Man. It was a paperback New Testament. The cover of it, I think, was grayish. With, you know, the words, good news for modern man. It was a horrible translation, but I was able to read it because the King James, again, was just something that was over my head. I never could really make sense of what I was reading. There was just too much going on for me. So again, though, even though it was a bad translation, even though it was very weak in some places, the point is I was able to actually read kind of a Bible that told me about Jesus. And I remember reading Matthew, and as I was coming to the end, I mean, I was so sad because I wanted to hear more about Jesus. The story was coming to an end. I mean, it was just, you know, and of course, you know, when you read about the crucifixion and then that drives you to sorrow to begin with, but then I was just so sad because the story of Jesus had come to an end. And then I started Mark. And I'm like, wait a minute. this is about Jesus again. We started back at the very beginning. I mean, I have never been more excited in my life when I discovered the Gospel of Mark and I was going to get to hear about Jesus again. And then I thought, well, let's just see if they did it twice. And I can remember flipping through to Luke. And sure enough, they were talking about Jesus again. They started at the very beginning of the story and continued. And then I found John. And I'm like, wow, I have four different accounts of Jesus. And I was so delighted to know that I had more words to read about Jesus. And So at a very early age, I fell in love with the Bible, and as a result of that, I obviously fell in love with reading. I do know that even when they tested me as a kid, that I always was reading above my grade level. That is just probably the only thing in school that I really excelled at. And when you love to read, you kind of naturally kind of understand reading comprehension. I mean, some of the rules of reading comprehension, I think, just naturally fall in line. I mean, you kind of have to have that if you're really going to understand what's on the page. And of course, a lot of people, they just don't like reading. That's fine. We're all built different. We all have different likes and dislikes and all that type of thing. But for me, I was just really, I really enjoyed reading. And of course, as time went on, I found better and better Bible translations. But of course, the sad thing is that when you come to salvation as a child, the sin nature it's there, and you can be taught what a sin nature is. You can be taught what sin is, but, well, we all know what happens when you become a teenager. All of us, it's like automatic rebellion. You rebel against everything. It's just something really happens when a child hits puberty. For most children, some children are not as bad as other children, but boy, I'm just going to have to be honest with you, the sin nature hit me hard, and then I just started spiraling out of control. I felt like I just wasn't a Christian. I couldn't be a Christian. How could I be a Christian and have all these wicked, evil thoughts in my head and allow myself to do some of the wicked, sinful things that I did? It's like, what is wrong with me? I mean, I read about Jesus. I know about Jesus. I have put my faith in Jesus, and what are these things coming in? What is happening to me? I'm going to tell you something. Puberty, high school, that is something that I never want to go through again. I can remember graduation, and then for me, it was freedom. Thank goodness I don't have to go back to that place. It was very difficult because I was so aware of my sin and my inability to do what I wanted to do. That's why I'm so excited about doing the book of Romans. And I can't wait till we get to chapter 7. I think I've said that in the past as I talked about Romans. Well, really, chapter 6, 7, and 8 of Romans. That's always been like the heartbeat of the gospel and the Christian life is right there in those chapters. It's like Paul threw everything about living the Christian life there, and really what was lacking in my life. Now, it's nobody's fault that another person sins, and certainly there's no one who is responsible for Jerry Lindsay's own sins. I'm the one that committed the sins, and I'm the one that needed to repent before the Lord. But there was a problem, and it's even worse problem today. I never sat under any good preaching, not good, solid preaching. I sat under people that wanted to do sermonettes. I sat under people that from time to time wanted to get political and yell at the president like he was in the room, whoever was president at the time. I heard little simple things, like when you go to Sunday school and they teach you about, Paul's three missionary journeys, which in actuality, I found out later that they were wrong. There was actually four missionary journeys. At least there's strong evidence to believe that there was a fourth missionary. Anyway, that's something for another day. But the point is that they couldn't even get that right on how many missionary journeys the Apostle Paul took. And that was about the extent of these Sunday school lessons and these sermons that just, I can remember sitting in church service after church service and so many pastors' faces come to my mind right now. And inside myself, I was screaming, will somebody please tell me how to fight my sin nature? I am losing this battle. Can somebody please explain to me how I could be a Christian and have all of the sins, and I can't stop doing things that I don't want to do, and I was miserable. And every little talk they gave, they went so far, but they never really told me what I wanted to hear. I was starving to death. I starved to death for years. Now, I know that doesn't mean that there wasn't anywhere where somebody was preaching God's word, because I know that wouldn't be true. But I just never really found those people. And I was greatly lacking in knowledge, and I didn't know what books, at that point, to go read, or what books would really help me with the problems that I was going through and would really teach me the scripture. It was kind of a watered-down Joel Osteen kind of thing, where it was more of like, you know, how to have a good, happy life, but not really giving me the meat of what I was supposed to do. And but anyway, finally, at some point, I can't remember when, but as technology advanced, and I remember starting out finding some people that did podcasts, or they put up sermons and things, and I remember starting out with a CD disc, you know, Walkman CD disc that with rewritable CDs, and I could put them into my tower computer, and I could copy, you know, on their different podcasts and sermons and things like that, and I began to find people that were actually teaching God's word and giving you the meat, as it were, and for the first time I really began to get fed, and then, you know, I got the Bible on cassette tapes, because I had a cassette, you know, the old Walkman, and I was actually able to listen to the Bible through. And I kept listening and kept listening, and, you know, and that way you're able to absorb more of the Bible, because, well, I had jobs, you know, like where I filled up vending machines, or I worked a milk route, different things that I did, and I was able to listen to things as I was able to do those jobs. I was very fortunate to always be able to do that. But, and then I discovered John MacArthur, and look, if you're not a John MacArthur fan, that's fine. That's fine. It's just that he did something that a lot of preachers don't do. In fact, I would even think the majority of preachers don't do, especially nowadays. He actually went to school like other pastors do, all pastors do, and he learned the biblical languages. He learned the Bible history and Bible culture and all the things that a pastor would need to do. And then he did a very strange thing. He came out of school, went into a pulpit, and actually began to teach what he had learned there. So if you need to know something about the language, the original language, whether it's Hebrew, Greek, or you need to know something about the culture of the Bible days, or something that was going on history-wise, he's going to unload everything about that verse. And then I found his study Bible. In fact, me and my sister, one year for Christmas, gifted each other with a John MacArthur study Bible. And I read through that Bible, notes and all, Lord knows how many times. And it began to really open me up my mind as to what the Word of God actually teaches. And it fed me, and it changed me, and I began to understand about sin and how to live a Christian life and to bask in the righteousness of Christ. My whole life began to change again, and here I am. I haven't really arrived, because we all still fight our sin nature. In fact, you know, there's times when you fight in your sin nature, and there's moments when you can even have doubts when you go through something real struggling, like when your wife has cancer. There's just times when You know, there's days when it's not a good day. Yeah, there's days when it's not good. But you know, and you wonder who are you to tell anybody about anything, but the fact of the matter is that the only people God has to shout the good news is bad people, because we're all bad, for all have sinned, and all of us have a sin nature that we're going to fight with until Christ returns and we get that glorified body. Wow, I tell you what, the older I get, the more I need that body. I'm telling you, mine's falling apart. But anyway, I'm at the midpoint now. I need to go ahead and I'm going to take I still got the emphysema, so of course I'll always have that with me. So I'm taking what I call my emphysema break. It's a very quick break. There's just some bumper music, and for you, voila, I'm back. But for me, I kind of got to relax for a minute and re-catch my breath. And then when I come back, I want to kind of move now onto why I decided to do this podcast. And I want to move on to how it is that I actually understand the Bible now. I mean, what is my main focus when I go to a biblical text, and why do I say the things that I say and talk about it the way I talk about it? So anyway, guys, I'm going to take that quick emphysema break, and I will be right back with you right after the bumper music. All right, guys, I am back from that very fast break, but for me, I can breathe again, so let me continue. Why do I do a podcast? Who am I to do a podcast? Well, two reasons. Number one, I spend so much time reading the Bible, listening to sermons, listening to various podcasts, listening to different ones that I've come to understand that I can trust them on YouTube. A lot of ministry stuff there. You know, people always find time to do what they want to do. I mean, they do. I don't care what your hobby is. You know, if you want to do something bad enough, you are going to figure out a way to do it. It's just human nature. You're going to find a way to do the things you want to do. And, you know, for myself, the Lord has so changed my heart. And I thank Him so much every day for that. And I so desire the things of God. And it's, I mean, I don't even waste my time. I don't really read anything unless it's something Christian, something that's going to help me in my walk. That's pretty much all the things that I read now. And this isn't the Jerry Lindsay Bragg Hour. It had nothing to do with me. The Lord changed me. See, now, if the Lord was not part of my life, I would be reading The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and I forget his name now, Terry Brooks, The Sword of Shannara, and I loved fantasy stuff. That's all that I ever read there for a while when I was in my struggling time. I love to read fantasy, and that's the type of stuff I would be doing. But I've been changed. I didn't change me. The Lord changed me. And I'm so thankful that He did. And it's all I want to do. And it's all I think about. And if I don't talk about it, I'm going to explode. I mean, I have to talk about it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if the only thing that hears me is the air in this room, then that's fine. I mean, I didn't hear a booming voice from heaven saying, "Jerry, I want you to go do a podcast." I don't even know if people talk about the Lord's will and what does he will in our lives. And, is this necessarily exactly what the Lord wants me doing right now? To be honest with you, I don't know that I can really answer that question. To be honest with you, I just know I got to tell people about Jesus. Now, I know that's his will. All of us are to be part, all of us that are Christian, that are born again, are to be part of the Great Commission, to go into all the world, proclaiming the gospel. You know, all of us are part of that. And regardless of what you do in life or where you work or, you know, we need to be telling other people about the gospel. We need to be telling people about Jesus. And this is just another way for me to be able to do that. If nobody but my wife listens to this and a few members of my family, then and it gives them some help, then praise to the Lord. If it helps somebody. I just got to talk about Jesus. It's not that I'm more noble than anybody. And it's just, you know, people are going to talk about what they want to talk about. They do that. Whatever you're into, whatever you're interested in, maybe it's sports. And so you're going to be talking about sports all the time if you're really into it. I'm into the Bible. I'm into Jesus. And you know, we're only talking about eternity here. And we're only talking about preparing for eternity. And I guess y'all can call me whatever you want to call me or think about me however you want to think about me, but I'm planning for heaven. I'm planning for eternity. People want to say that, you know, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's the stupidest thing anybody has ever said. And if you've ever said it, you're a little bit stupid. And I don't care if that hurts your feelings, because right is right and wrong is wrong. The only way that you can be any earthly good is to be heavenly minded. Because in the end, heaven's all that's going to matter. I mean, we're all going to live forever. And you can believe that if you want to or not. You know, I mean, what you believe doesn't have anything to do about reality. I mean, I could believe that if I flap my arms like a bird, I can fly through the air, but that's not going to happen. The truth is something called the law of gravity. And if I go jumping off of a high place thinking I can flap my arms like a bird, what's going to happen is my fat self is going to splatter all over the ground. Because human beings were not built to flap their arms and fly like a bird. So truth is something outside of yourself. So regardless of what you can believe whatever you want to. But eternity's coming. And you're going to either be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And if you're a Christian and you're planning on being in heaven, aren't we supposed to be storing up treasure in heaven? I mean, didn't Jesus say that? So, this is what I'm doing. I just have to talk about Jesus. And, you know, people want to think that I'm too overboard or, well, I can't help what other people think. This is just what I want to do. It's what I love the most. I love reading the Bible. I love reading books about the Bible. I found so many people from ages past that, you know, that they left their books and I just, I'm excited every time I find a new one. It excites me. It excites me more than anything else. So that's one reason why I do this podcast, because I can't stop talking about Jesus. The other reason is because I got relatives that are on their way to hell. I got people I know. And then there's people I don't know. Well, they don't know me, so they're probably never going to hear me, but there are people who do know me. You know, when I first started this podcast, I'm just going to be brutally honest today. Now, my wife has a very large family. She's blessed with many, many relatives that are scattered from East Coast to West Coast, literally. Got a lot of cousins. And most of them cousins aren't saved. Well, it's my prayer that inside that brain of theirs, they know who I am. Maybe they'll listen one day. One of our cousins, since I started doing this podcast, they're dead now. There was never a profession of faith in Christ. Everybody wants to have them in heaven, but I got sad news for you today. She didn't believe. She's not in heaven. That's a hard thing to say. But have you ever been to a funeral where they said the person died and went to hell? Now, people don't do funerals like that. Every time you go to a funeral, they're in heaven. Don't matter how they lived their life or what they did or what they believed in. When you go to a funeral, all people go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is only one road and one road only, and that is Jesus. And if people don't come to Christ, they don't put their faith, if they don't recognize that they are sinners under the wrath of God, because that's why Jesus died on the cross, because we're all under God's wrath for our sins. But Jesus bore the wrath. He died in our place. He suffered our punishment. It was for our iniquities. And those that put faith in Him, coming to Him in repentant faith, meaning they want to turn from their sins. That is what salvation is. And this individual never came to Christ. And when I started this podcast all those years ago, they were somebody I was thinking about. They were someone that I actually prayed for. Well, that's a good reason to do a podcast. Because you want to warn people. I've been saved by Christ. I'm saved. And I got to tell everybody about it. And, you know, haven't you ever had good news? Of course you have. We've all had, you know, something really exciting. Something really great happens to you. And what do you want to do? You want to tell everybody. I mean, you know, and you're constantly looking for somebody who hadn't heard what happened to you the other day so that you got a new audience, a fresh audience, so you can tell them the good news of what happened to you. You know, maybe it was the best job promotion ever, or maybe a child was born, you know, or maybe your child graduated, you know, with honors from college, or, you know, those things that are really big, great news, and you can't wait to tell people about it. Well, I discovered that I was under the wrath of God, that I discovered I was going to go to a place called hell. And I asked Christ to forgive me of my sins and to save me, and He did. That's the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's the best news that I could ever tell anybody, and I want everybody to know about it. So this podcast is a means for me to be able to do that. To give my testimony, as it were. And to talk about Christ. Look, I'm never going to have perfect theology. I will never get all my I's dotted and all my T's crossed. And I can guarantee you when it comes my time to pass away, there's going to be T's that I dotted and I's that I crossed. Because, you know, I won't be perfect in my understanding of things. But I can promise you I know this. That Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. I know that. I might not know much of anything else, but I know that Jesus saves. He saves us. He is the Savior. I mean, we call Him Savior. What do we need a Savior for? Why do we go around even saying He's a Savior? Well, the weak response is, He died for our sins. Well, that's true. He did die for our sins. There are certainly a lot of biblical passages that teach this. But if you don't tell people why He died for their sins, what does that even mean? He died for our sins because our sins put us under the wrath of God, the eternal wrath of God. He saved us from hell, where sinners go to pay for their sins. They're given their wage, what they earned in life, their sins. He came to save us from that. That is the best news that there is. He came to save us from ourselves because we're sinners, because we are cursed, because we can't help but to sin. But Jesus, for God so loved the world, we all know John 3:16. For some reason, they put it on signs and they hold them up at football games. I don't know what they think's going to happen. That's not really presenting the gospel, but we know that verse. And we need to all respond to it. He came to save us. So that's why I'm doing a podcast. I'm not trying to get famous. That's for sure. This is not the way to do it. I don't have any high ego about myself. Believe me, I don't think that I'm someone special or great. I just want to talk about Jesus. And this is a format I'm able to do that. And I want to warn people that I know, but that I don't get to see all the time. This is just a way to let people know the good news. That's why it's the good news. The gospel means good news. Well, what is the good news? It's not just that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's Jesus saves us from the wrath of God because of our sins. He saves us from a place called hell. Finally, I just want to talk a little bit about how I look at the Bible and how I can come to some of the conclusions I do. I'm fixing to offend somebody, I'm sure. I'm almost positive because we're all in our little camps of different Christian theology and we use different words that actually in today's culture, words are kind of losing their meaning. I mean, if you called yourself an evangelical once upon a time, it meant something completely different than what it means to be a new evangelical. Today's new evangelicals are completely liberal and deny a lot of the fundamentals of the faith. And so I'm kind of leery of putting names and titles on myself. But here's how my thinking, if we want to put it that way, has developed. I listened to a sermon by Vody Bachum, who is one of my ultimate favorites. And he was talking about how that there are two ways that people build their church. This is actually a thought that I believe actually came out of the Reformation period. But at least it was stated back then. But I didn't actually know that when I heard Vody talking about this. But he said there's two ways that people build a church. The first way is the people say, we're going to do everything that the Bible tells us to do, and things that the Bible does not specifically say that we can't do. So that's one way to build a church. To do everything the Bible tells you to do, and things that the Bible doesn't specifically say you cannot do. Another way to build the church is to do everything that the Bible tells you to do and absolutely nothing else. That's the camp that I'm in. Now, in my thinking, I took this a little bit further. Because theology is just a fancy word that just means the study of God. So if you read a Bible and you study it, you are studying theology. You can't help but to study theology if you read a Bible. You know, because you're studying it and you're learning about God when you read the Bible, so that you're a theologian and didn't know it. If you're reading the Bible, that is. Well, there's two ways a person or a man or a woman can build their theology. One way is to believe everything that the Bible tells you to and add a few things that the Bible doesn't specifically say that you can't do or you can't believe. And of course, the other way is you build your theology based on what the Bible actually says and absolutely nothing else. So if you're going to convince me of anything, you're going to have to show me in the Bible where it says that. Now let me give an example. Let me just name three people that have influenced my life. Three men that I have respect for and have really helped me out. One of them is a man by the name of Chris Rosebro. He does a podcast called Fighting for the Faith. You can find him on YouTube now. When I first started listening to him, I think he was in the second year of his podcast years ago. But basically, his ministry is to expose false teaching and false teachers, and he does it so wonderfully with the Bible, and he's masterful with Hebrew and Greek. I've learned many a lesson from him with that. So he's been very instrumental to me. Now, he is a confessional Lutheran, which is completely out of my neck of the woods. Okay. But, you know, I recognize, though, that he is a brother in Christ when I hear him talk about salvation and coming to faith in Christ and all. Another man that has been instrumental was R.C. Sproul. The late R.C. Sproul. He was very instrumental in helping me in a lot of different ways when it comes to theology and all. And of course, he would be Presbyterian. Of course, he passed away a few years back, but and I greatly miss him too, to be honest with you. And of course, then there is John MacArthur, who is non-denominational, but I think some people, you know, you could kind of maybe think of him along the lines as a Reformed Baptist, so he doesn't make that claim. I think I once heard him say that, you know, I mean, he's not a Reformed Baptist, but he understands why people would think of him along those lines. So anyway, I don't want to put some claim on him he hadn't put on himself. But anyway, the point is, here's three different men who have been very instrumental in my life. Now, let's imagine that we could put all three of them at a table and we want to throw out a subject of debate. And let's just talk about, should we or should we not be baptizing babies? And let's just leave it at that. You can go a little bit deeper into the subject, but that's the question before these three men. They're all, just imagine that they're all three sitting at a table, and we ask them, here is the question for debate. Should the church be baptizing infants? Okay, all three men are going to give you a different answer. All three will disagree with each other on whether or not we're supposed to baptize infants or not. Now, here are three men that, first of all, I recognize all three as brothers in the Lord. I mean, I'm as sure as a person could be about each man's salvation based on, you know, what they believe that salvation is and how they've come to faith in the Lord. So I easily recognize all three as brothers. But all three of these men have a much higher intelligence than I do. They are all three thoroughly knowledgeable of the biblical languages and the history and the culture and all the things that a person needs to learn. I would not be seated at the table is what I'm trying to say. I would have nothing to offer the discussion, not amongst men like this that have so thoroughly studied. Each one's going to give me a different answer to the question on whether or not I am supposed to be baptized in infants or not. What am I supposed to do? See, I don't believe that, you know, I can stand before the Lord one day and say, you know, Lord, there was three men and they were all more knowledgeable than me. And so I just didn't know what to think about that, Lord. I just kind of, you know, it was a secondary issue and it doesn't really determine whether, you're going to go to heaven or not. So I just kind of just let it drop by the wayside. I don't think that that's an answer. I don't think the Lord would accept that. I have to make some kind of decision. Well, here is where I fall on. Show me a scripture in the Bible where an infant was actually baptized. Show me a scripture where it says the apostle, you know, baptized their infants, their newborn. Show me where it says that, specifically says that. You know, I know I'm making somebody mad right now, but we're not talking about you. We're talking about me, okay? We're talking about how I've made my decision, and please don't write me any hate mail. You're not going to change my mind. I look for a specific scripture that says I'm supposed to do something. You know, like if Paul had written, for example, the second book of Galatians, and in the second book of Galatians, he said, "You foolish Galatians, what do you mean you're not baptizing your babies?" Well, that would be proof positive. Or the other way around, "You foolish Galatians." I forget which the other way around is. But you know what I mean. The thing is, you know, he came down on one side of the issue, whether we're supposed to baptize babies or not supposed to baptize babies. See, that's why we have a secondary issue. Because there's not a clear passage of scripture that says, should we do this or should we not do this? So how do people then that baptize infants, how do they come about their decision? Through a word, inferences. That's the word for the day, inferences. They go through the Bible and they look at all of the texts in the Bible that talk about baptism, or, you know, where people were baptized, or baptism is being discussed, and they put them all together, and they come to the conclusion that we're supposed to baptize infants. Okay, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm not. I'm not making fun of them at all. We're talking about people that have a higher intelligence than I do. I'm not poking fun. I'm just saying that's how they come to these decisions. And the reason that we call it a secondary issue is because we can argue about this because there is not a distinctive text that clearly says you're supposed to do this. And that's just where I fall. If I want to do specifically what the Bible tells me to do and absolutely nothing else. And there is no scripture that says I'm supposed to baptize a baby. Therefore, I would not recommend that anyone in my family or any of my friends to have their baby baptized. It's just that simple. So if I'm going to make an error when I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's, and I should have, you know, I instead of dotting that I across it and made it a T, or, you know, instead of crossing it and make it a T, I dotted it and made it an I, you know, if my theology, if I have missed something, that's why. And that's how. Because I refuse to look at people's inferences. I'm just going to go with the clear teaching of Scripture. The same thing spills over for me in eschatology. The study of end times, prophecy. You know, where did this idea for all millennialism come from? It came way back, you know, early on in the church. Jerusalem, you know, Israel had been completely destroyed, wiped out. There was no nation of Israel. They had literally been scattered into all the world. So what are we going to do with the prophecies that weren't fulfilled or prophecies that are about the second coming? And so as time went on, you know, they interpreted those scriptures. Let me try to not make people mad. There are scriptures, prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in his first coming. We knew it was prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied he'd be born of a virgin. It was prophesied actually that he would even be called out of Egypt as a baby. It was prophesied that he would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. It was prophesied what kind of death he would die. And he fulfilled so many prophecies that it is astronomically impossible he has to be who the Bible says he is. There's no way you could have faked this. But there are even more prophecies that he did not fulfill. He did not set up an eternal kingdom here on the earth with Israel. We don't see him ruling the nations with an iron rod. I mean, so there were prophecies not fulfilled. Well, what happened through the ages is people, in some way or another, let's not define anybody, but they began to understand these prophecies in a different way that you understand the other prophecies. You know, it's like Jesus fulfills these prophecies in a different way. Well, I can understand this before Israel became a nation again. Because see, but here's the problem. Israel is a nation again. Israel, they're on the map. And they've actually become a stumbling block to the nations, just as Scripture kind of says. But they're there. They're on the map. Which means you cannot deny. You might not believe it, but you can't deny that Jesus could not fulfill all those prophecies that was left unfulfilled in his second coming. You can't tell me that he can't do that because Israel's there in their land again. So in my way of thinking, when Israel went into the land again, that should have silenced all your amillennialists and your postmillennialists, and we should all go back to being premillennial, like the disciples were. But anyway, that would be an argument for another time. But the point is, the reason I see prophecy the way I do is I just simply take the text for what they say. I take everything for what it says. I mean, you're telling me there's a new rule for how we interpret Jesus' second coming? Okay. Show me in the Bible where that rule is. Show me in the Bible where it says we look at the second coming text differently than we looked at the first coming text. Show me where it tells me that, and I'll believe you. If you don't have a verse to tell me that I'm supposed to change how I look at the second coming versus the way I do the first coming versus, then just don't talk to me about it because you're not going to convince me. Your reasoning, your inferences that you draw, you know, all of your nice little maps, and it, I mean, none of that's going to do me any good. I'm just going to be stupid that way, okay? I'm just going to take the Bible for what it says, word for word, using reading comprehension that I learned years ago when I first began reading the Bible. I'm going to use those same rules today. Words mean things. They have definitions. You have to be really careful when you're reading anything to make sure you understand every word and what it's saying. No, I didn't study Hebrew and Greek, but let me tell you something. I've got a lot of men that I have found that have all kinds of nice study notes that will explain. In fact, I have a Bible now, a Bible app. I can just highlight a word and it will show me that specific word and how to define that specific word as it was originally written in whatever, whether it was the Hebrew or the Greek. So, you know, I hope that makes sense. So anyway, that is how I look at the Bible. I don't really call myself anything more than that. I'm just a guy who just uses simple reading comprehension, and I read the Bible, and then I want to tell people about it. Okay, I don't know if this has been helpful to anybody or not. Maybe parts of it will, I hope. But this is just kind of a reintroduction to me and why I'm doing a podcast. I hope that this helps some of you somehow, some way. Maybe a portion, maybe others, maybe some of the other stuff I said is meant for the toilet. I don't know, but you know, I don't claim to be anything but just a very dumb person. And I look at the things I've done in my life. Let me tell you something. I have done some stupid things. I consider myself doubly stupid because I was saved at a young age and I should have known better. And a lot of the things I just have to hold my head in shame, you know, but I might be simple minded and you can call me simple minded and you can laugh at me because I don't pay attention to your secondary inferences. But hey, we can agree there's one way to salvation. There is one way and one way only. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to Father but through me. We can all understand that, can't we? And we can all know that we need to turn from sin, that we're under the wrath of God, and that we need to turn to Him for salvation. That is what Jesus does. That's why He came. It was the whole purpose. He came to save us. Okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him will have everlasting life. So come to Jesus. All right, guys, I am going to go ahead. I'm going to close this thing just real quickly if I can find the end of my notes here. My website is OurBlessedHopeMinistries.com. That is OurBlessedHopeMinistries.com. My email, if you want to write to me and give me your hate mail, I'll be more than happy to receive it. My email is Jerry@OurBlessedHopeMinistries.com. That's Jerry@OurBlessedHopeMinistries.com. And my podcast provider, the people that I actually use to upload these podcasts, is Podbean. So if you wanted to go to the Podbean website, it's OurBlessedHope.Podbean.com. You could also just get the Podbean app. All of the episodes are there. So anyway, for final thoughts, I don't really have any final thoughts. I was just teasing. I have gone overly long as it is. So anyway, guys, till next time. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret from long ages past, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the Gentiles, leading to obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen and amen.
The Bible speaks of two men who are standing in the field, where one is taken and one is left behind. Two women in the kitchen, one goes and one remains. So get your house in order while there's time. In the cross there is salvation, through the blood there is a way to secure your destination on that resurrection day.
Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son.
Every morning.